All right, if the member of the chair is ready, should we open it up so we can get out of here?
Let's do it.
Are you just adjourning? Is that what we're doing?
Well, we haven't even had lunch yet, yeah. So.
All right. Well, welcome everyone to our CDBG Regional Review Committee meeting. Thank you for being here. Our first item on the agenda is to take action on approving the May minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes.
Okay, and I have just one change. It's actually just in the attendance. So on my name, we can just take off assistant.
Oh.
We would just call community development director. So that was when Bill came previously.
Oh, I have
him. He's my assistant.
Oh, okay, so sorry about that.
No problem. But that is it.
Great.
Move to approve with that correction.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Great.
And we have someone on the phone.
Yes, Michelle's okay. On the phone.
Perfect. Okay. All right. Item number two is the revolving loan fund discussion. So, Christy, I will turn the time over to you.
Thank you. And this was going to be Scott's thing. He looks like he got caught out there talking to someone. But I'll just quickly recap. So last time we met in May, we talked about exploring a revolving loan fund. We talked about exploring it in two phases. Phase one would be spending $50,000-ish dollars to study the RLF, and then kind of from there we could regroup and decide if we want to continue with phase two, which would be actually implementing the revolving loan fund. So we kind of talked about these initial notes here that we gathered from MAG, the Mountain Land Associations of Government, just to the south of us. They have a revolving loan fund. So we have reviewed it last meeting. We talked about the benefits, you know, the small mom-and-pop shops that have a hard time getting funding. It could be beneficial in that regard. And then we also had some questions about the administration and, like, the kind of risk-benefit of an RLF. So we met again with Mountain Land to discuss kind of how it's gone for them, with your specific questions that we took to them. So we had a question about how much admin time and cost would the RLF take. So the first year is kind of more time intensive, which makes sense. We're setting up a 501(c), which takes a bit of time. But then once it's all set up and running smoothly, it takes roughly 10% of the administration's time. So that can has the option to be billed from the RLF, or, you know, depending on, it would probably most likely be Scott who's administering that program. You know, depending on his time and availability, if he would charge to the RLF or not would be kind of more an internal discussion. So Scott, we're just talking about the RLF now.
Yeah, sorry, that gentleman was here just asking general questions about planning and what we do, and he's going to come to council, so just answer some questions about the organization.
Okay. So we have so far just kind of recapped that we talked about exploring the RLF in two phases. Phase one would be funding a study for the feasibility, and then, you know, we started talking about how last time we decided there would be a benefit to mom-and-pop shops. There would be some economical benefit in the region, but then we were unsure about time, risks, cost, things like that. So then right now we are going over admin time and cost from, so the first question. So basically the first year would be more intensive setting up the 501(c). After that, 10% of administrator's time goes towards the RLF, and that's about where we are.
And you relayed that this was based on the
Mountain
discussion
Land Association
with,
yes.
Yeah. And so
hit Mountain Land again.
They're our counterpart to the south. So they're made up of Wasatch, Summit, and Utah counties. Okay. But they are the metropolitan planning organization for the southern portion of the metro. And then we cover the five counties north of Utah County.
So So
Michelle's actually my same, I mean, counterpart. She does the same job I do. She runs the Economic Development District and does economic development, and then this revolving loan fund. So she's, that first year, it was pretty intensive for her, she said. I mean, she did it all herself. They didn't contract any fees to have attorneys set up the nonprofit. They worked through all of those application processes and everything herself. And then now they do applications like quarterly, I think, is when they accept applications, or maybe twice a year. And so it's about 10% of her time on the aggregate, but it kind of ramps up. You know, she has times where she's accepting applications for the loan fund, and then it peters off and then comes back.
That 10% also includes like collecting on fees, and she does a lot of things herself that have the option to be contracted out. So that 10% is kind of give or take.
Like she personally repoed some kitchen equipment, and then she personally took out a storage unit to house that equipment, and then sold it on KSL. And I was like, why did you do all that? And they're, MAG is a bigger organization than WFRC, but in a different way, because they do tri-county weatherization funds, like Meals on Wheels stuff. So they have a bigger,
COC and home,
continuum and home of care and home grant, and they just have other, so their staff is larger, but their staff that takes care of the core functions like what we do is actually probably smaller. Like we're 27 people and they're maybe 8 or so that does the same like level of planning work that we do. So I think she just runs a really tight ship and does it herself, and also she really enjoys the grant program itself. Like one of the things that you can't really relay in here is just the like personal benefit that she has seen with mom and pop shops or little restaurants that have actually succeeded, that she got a grant to help them get off the ground, and that like kind of soft side of it, I guess, that she really enjoys it as part of her job. But they haven't charged any attorney fees, collection fees, any of that stuff, and you could charge that back through the RLF, like through an administration portion of it. Like you could carve off some of that money as administration. Some other questions that you guys had. I'm sorry, do you want
to? Oh, no, okay. Go ahead.
After decoupling the CDBG dollar funds, are they available for the whole AOG region? The answer is yes. So Salt Lake and Davis County could apply for the funds that have been filtered back through the nonprofit after they've met the initial CDBG dollar investment, but we would probably question whether we should do that, because Davis County has its own business development loan fund, Salt Lake County has its own loan fund programs, so this would really be a resource to the smaller counties, I think, and you know, we could discuss that, how that happens afterward. The RRC's involvement after the initial expenditure is there wouldn't be any, so this committee wouldn't become part of the revolving loan fund process at all. You would just be looking at any investment in the revolving loan fund just like any other project that comes to you across the region. It would compete competitively, it would rank, you would choose the project whether you want to invest or not, and then the revolving loan fund operates completely separately.
So MAG has a board for their revolving loan fund that includes like financers, banks,
local nonprofits,
small businesses, to approve loans.
And their loan program has so far over the last few years been break even. So they have lost some money, but they have made some back on interest. Their loans are $10,000 to $500,000 or $50,000 and up to $100,000, but that's rare, and their interest rate is about 7%. So they're not like an angel investor that would be really expensive, like 15-20% interest due in like 36 months or something. These can be, you know, 5-year loans or 5 to 10 year loans at 7% for $50,000. And they, you know, they of course have lost money, and then that's where she's doing things like selling high-end kitchen equipment out of a storage unit on KSL, which just seemed crazy to me. That's, I think, the kind of stuff that Andrew sees as a major organizational risk that is not, it's not in my wheelhouse. Like, I'm not that guy selling, you know, used goods on KSL. So to me, that's one of those things that would be contracted and outside of the administration of the program, because I just think that that's better left to professionals in repo and whatever else. So
question.
Yeah.
So when we were talking before, we were talking around, you know, starting with $100,000.
Yeah.
So taking that, I mean, you're saying they're doing $10,000 to $50,000
mm-hmm.
loans.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do two of those, you've depleted the first year.
Right.
So I'm trying to calculate how you're getting your return back in
right.
order to do it the next year.
Yeah, and these guys, so MAG started with that initial $535,000 CDBG award, and that was an odd year because they had American Reinvestment Act money that year, so they had additional CDBG funds to award, and so they started with $500,000 pot of money. And then
okay.
every other year or so, they're coming back to CDBG with a request of about $150,000. So their program's closer to $1 million now that they have that's either available to loan or in some form of payback. So at $100,000, the program wouldn't be viable. You would want to combine it with some of the other funding opportunities that are out there, which...
It's on the back of here.
In the back of this one?
Yeah.
So there's a handful of them that she gave me. So USDA has a rural program that provides a 1%, this is a weird one, but it provides a 1% loan to an organization who can then re-loan that money at a higher interest rate. So we get a loan from USDA, which is basically like a bond that we pay back over a longer period, but it's the seed money that starts our RLF with the idea that the RLF money gets loaned out, paid back at a higher interest rate on a shorter term than the money we took out,
so
and then we repay the initial loan.
So we borrow money, we loan it out,
sublet money.
They default, and now we got to pay back.
Exactly, that's an organizational risk. So
the initial.
And the you know, this is all. These are all questions to be answered to me in part one of the study. So I guess the question to this group is whether or not, with, you know, the information from MAG and just, you know, talking through this, whether it's even worth it to carve off that $50,000 from next year's allocation to explore all of those questions further. Because the answer to that, you know, we might get part one and it come back and say, you're just at too much risk, or there's not enough funding sources to create a viable program, and then we know. But until that, I just don't know. I don't know what I don't know, I guess. And the study would help answer some of those questions more concretely than even the discussion with MAG. Because theirs has been like a bootstrap program that was initially funded under a strange year where there was extra money to even infuse into it, and they've kept it rolling. You know, and Davis County's program isn't even, we can't even compare it at this point because it's 25 years old, and its initial investment was much smaller, but at the time, 1980-something dollars was a lot of money. And now it's, you know, $2 or $3 million that they have revolving. So they've had some major defaults, but they've also had some really good positive wins that have come back and repaid loans at higher interest rates with advanced payments and other things with companies that actually made it.
So do they allow, like this you was talking about, after the first year,
mm-hmm.
it would be available for anybody that wanted to apply.
Yep.
So is Davis County the same way? Anybody can go apply, or
yeah,
are they restricted to their area?
Well, it's restricted to Davis County still. They just keep it within their county. But theirs was funded with CDBG, so the first year it had to go to low and moderate income businesses, or businesses providing housing opportunities or entrepreneurial.
But it was still within their district.
It's always been within
their area.
County.
Okay.
Yep. So, but that was funded, that was like a Davis County request. So technically, I guess Weber County could make this same request of the RRC through just a project to create a revolving loan fund at the county level. And that happens. We haven't funded any, but you can do program income with CDBG, so you could effectively do that type of program. And examples would be down payment assistance programs that get funded through CDBG, and then the sale of that helps somebody purchase a home, and then they have so many years to repay that initial investment back to the county, and then that goes into a revolving loan fund with program income.
So, okay, so when I presented this to the council, I mean, because these were their two biggest questions. One was the return.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If we only start with 100 grand and you've got to pay it out, how do you continue this?
Right.
And then the other one was the same question that I had. If we're taking, you know, CDBG money to me and to the rest of the council, mm-hmm. we want it to stay within this group.
Right.
Yeah. So can you do that, or is it once it's out there, anybody can collect it?
Yeah, once it's out there. This group wouldn't become the group that's even accepting loan applications and making decisions on them.
Well, no, what I'm saying is somebody in Washington Terrace can apply for it.
Right.
Not somebody from St. George.
Yeah, correct. For sure. Yes. And okay. we would have physical boundaries. The most open the physical boundaries would be is our Association of Governments boundary, which is the five counties. So Morgan, Weber, Davis, Tooele, Salt Lake. But likely what we would do is pare it down to Morgan, Weber, Tooele counties, because Salt Lake and Davis counties, and I can't say this definitively, but this would be my staff recommendation, is to retain our program in those three counties, because there's already a revolving loan fund opportunity in Davis, and Salt Lake County, just due to its urban nature, has many more funding opportunities than the other counties.
Weber County may have one as well. We started a small one. It's been a couple of years. I'm not even sure if it's functioning.
If it's going
right
yet.
Now. But
does Holland administer that?
Yeah, Holland. Okay. Well, Doug Larson started it when he was doing economic development, but
okay.
Yeah, Holland should take over that.
All right.
I mean, we wouldn't necessarily be opposed, you know, for the study if we could put the limitations on it that it stays within this area.
Mm-hmm.
But so I don't mean to sound greedy or anything like that, but to take funds that would be available to our counties.
Absolutely.
And then turn around and let somebody else from the outside come in and get our funds. That's what we're against.
I totally agree. And that first, you know, you're only, so say we fund the study, I wouldn't put any geographical boundaries on other than our AOG area, just because we want to explore what this would do for our whole area, essentially. But it's that first request. So the request that would be made in 2021, say it takes a year to do the study, and we determine it's a good idea, and then me, as staff of the new nonprofit that's been created to do the RLF, makes an application that's competitive, just like anyone from the three counties, for seed money to create to begin the RLF, that you could put stipulations on, but only for the first time that money's doled out.
Because
once it's repaid, that money it decouples from all of the CDBG requirements. But for the first set of loans, it would be limited only to the three counties,
mm-hmm.
and have to meet all of HUD's requirements, which, just interestingly enough, MAG continues to loan under those same guidelines. So it continues to loan to low and moderate income businesses, minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, those that are creating economic opportunities for new, you know, residents within the counties, that's how they want their program to run, but also because the state has infrequently audited the program to say, are you still meeting these requirements? Which my history with CDBG is that their memory is like 5 years long. Like anything older than 5 years, they're not gonna continue tracking projects. So we would keep those same program requirements going for likely 5 years. At a minimum, but MAG has continued to run their program on that same basis to meet every loan they continue to do meets the initial LMI and CDBG requirements.
I wonder if we could include in the study, in the scope of work, in the RFP or whatever, kind of like a benefit comparison between, you know, would even those three counties benefit from including Salt Lake and Davis counties eventually, like as far as interest paid back into the program, mm-hmm. compared to if they were left out? And you know what I mean? Maybe they could explore that as part of the study.
Yeah. And if 50,000 is too much to take out of this, if you want to do look at like the partial, that was an estimate done by Lanice, and I don't know what part one versus part two really comes to, but I'm guessing that the benefits and impacts of WFRC is some smaller portion of that, or maybe it's half. Maybe we look at $25,000 and do just a part one of the study, but the 50 allows us to, should the outcome be yes, move ahead, we can begin using that money for establishment of the RLF itself. But I'm really agnostic to the idea and just want the study to help inform us what all of the risks and challenges and opportunities and everything would be. Because after talking to Michelle, I don't want to do a lot of the stuff that she's doing.
So am I the only one that's thinking 50 grand is a pretty good chunk of change to do a study?
No,
is that normal?
Yeah. Well, we operate on like regional planning level studies, so $50,000 for something that benefits five counties to me isn't out of the norm, because they range so much. But I think part of that money, it's paying legal fees and the people who really know how to write these contracts. So I'm guessing that part one of the study is considerably less. Like, I'm thinking 15 to 20 or something like that. So if you did half, we could just see how far that money goes. And if we research it out to, like, what we could do between now and decision time for you guys is your November meeting. That's the final, it's the last time the RRC meets and could take action on this before public comment periods start and we make an announcement of funding award for our communities. And that's why we missed it last year. We were one meeting too late to have this conversation. So we could also spend the next couple of months shopping some consultants out and asking them, based on this initial scope document, what would it cost for you to consider, you know, these impacts and benefits of a revolving loan fund in our region, to have a better idea what that request is, instead of just blindly come up with 50,000. And even if Lanice had done that work, it's 3 years old now, so it's old enough that we could go back out and ask some consultants to help us.
$15,000 sounds a lot better than 50. 50, somebody could do a lot with $50,000 in infrastructure next year or whenever.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Another thing is, I guess we find out if Weber County's got something before we jump.
I'll look into that.
And when we go out to ask these questions, it's not really a five county study. It seems more like a three county study.
Yeah.
I mean, so don't make it real big. Don't make it sound real big, because it's only three small, well, two small counties and a medium-sized county, so it's not like it's...
So I guess my question is, why can't we limit it to the three counties after the first year?
Because after the first year, it decouples all of the CDBG requirements. So basically,
I understand that, but why can't we still, on the RLF, why can't we...
There's anything we can't. Yeah, we could. But that
am I the only one that's having an issue with this?
No, I do. I'm just wondering, is it really fair to Davis County that we create this, since they've already put together one in Davis County? I don't know, is it fair to Davis County that we, well, they don't let us.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So
we can't access theirs, so I guess. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but the way you're talking, if I'm mistaken, after the first year, people in Davis County could apply for this.
It depending on how the nonprofit ran the program.
And that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
RLF, can we put stipulations that it is just for the three counties?
That's good. Yeah,
I don't think I agree with you there.
I'm agreeing with everything you're saying.
Then why ain't you saying it?
Well, because I'm thinking. First of all, I was trying to... Michelle, did you say?
Michelle Carroll.
I'm just trying to figure out who the Michelle is in our group here in this building.
Did you have a comment?
Well, it's not you.
Well,
it clearly doesn't
Michelle.
Sound like you.
Michelle well, has a comment.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Michelle.
I have a question. If I understand this right, we use CDBG funds the first year to get it funded, and then it becomes a standalone nonprofit, correct?
Well, yeah. So what happens is the CDBG funds, if we were to request money and you guys awarded it and we expended those funds, when they're repaid over their amortization schedule, say you loan out $100,000 and it takes 5 years to get all that money back plus 7%. So now you have $107,000 after 5 years. That money gets repaid into a fund that's operated by a nonprofit, and then they can reloan that money under their own rules without meeting the CDBG requirements.
That's what I thought. So our initial investment would be the first year, and then if the RLF nonprofit came back to CDBG asking for additional funds in the future, correct?
Right. And you guys could stipulate limitations on additional funds that were used to infuse the program, but again, only for that first cycle of those funds. So every time...
Right, and the first cycle has to meet the low to moderate income criteria.
Correct. Yep. And I don't know at what level a fund is viable, but there's no way $100,000 is a viable fund. It's not worth the administrative time of trying to loan out that small amount of money. I mean, to me, for our region, it's more like $1 million is where I start feeling like an RLF would be beneficial, impacting. And so it becomes a greater question, one of, should we use our limited CDBG dollars to even explore it, is one question, which I think you're asking in a really great way. And the other is, what are the cobbled together sources of funding that we can even access, like these other SBA loan programs and bank loans through CRA funds, and what other options would we have to create a program? And that's something that the study could help answer, because I don't know all those options. But Rochelle, you're right though. So each time, if we were to come back every few years and ask for more capital investment in the RLF, those monies would be limited to CDBG activities that first round of allocation.
Okay. And is this something that there has been a request for?
No, just from staff. Just from Lanice as the Economic Development District person, and then me in following up. So it's us as an organization looking for how can we fund, so, and the organization being the Economic Development District, which sits on the side of WFRC. It's its own like little group.
Right, yeah, I'm aware of that.
It's us, it's me, I guess, as staff, asking CDBG for the seed money to get the study going. Because WFRC as an organization, we haven't made that same request to WFRC, which we could explore doing too in another budget year. Or look at it like as a joint project. Another way to fund something like this would be to just reach out to Morgan, Tooele, and Weber counties and say, WFRC in partnership with these three counties is exploring an RLF. Are you willing to put in 5,000, 5,000, 5,000 or whatever, and then we'll make up the difference and fund this study. So CDBG is just one outlet of money to get to complete the study.
Okay, so you just made the comment that you didn't figure $100,000 was worth wasting our time. It needs to be more like the million. So my question is, if that's your thought, why are we even discussing it?
Well, because it wouldn't need to, say I asked you guys for $100,000 this year, and then got a $100,000 USDA grant, and then in 2 years asked you for $100,000. Like you, same with Weber's, there's no stipulation that, well, I mean, there's a certain amount of time you'd have to loan that money out, right? But there's some time that you could create the fund and like seed the fund. So same with transportation projects, you know, they go forward with 5 million of the 500 that they need. And they're not going to turn down a $5 million grant from WFRC, but they know that the state legislature is going to have to pick up the tab of the remaining funds. So that seed money might just be enough to get us started, and then we build the program from there once it's established.
So you're looking at trying to build it to a certain amount before you start to borrow?
Yeah, and I have no idea if that's... And again, the study would tell us like at what point... There's probably a tipping point of now you have $300,000 or $400,000 in your fund... make loans of 60% of that and start to get some payback and continue to build the fund. Again, I'm just answering these questions like right off the top of my head, so I haven't thought. I don't know.
But in order to do any of this, we have to have a study that helps us move this forward. So
yeah,
that's really the concern.
Everything else after that is hypothetical because we don't even know if there's support at the WFRC level to have a staff person staff this thing. And the study helps us answer the question of should we or should we not go down the road of establishing it.
Well, I'm not for spending 50 grand. I mean, if you can get a study for the 10, 12, 15, whatever you're talking, I'm not going to say to me that's reasonable because it's not.
Yeah.
But if it's, you know, that or the 50 grand, I'm not voting for a 50 grand deal.
Okay.
You have more of an option with the 12, 15,000 to get a study just to kind of get us an idea of where we're looking at.
I heard you say 25,000.
I have.
He said 25. He's saying 15.
I know the elected guys come down.
Let's meet in the middle.
Taking the
little well, heaven
jacks. Of 20.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I'm just saying, what's the real number?
The study doesn't cost any more.
I just don't want to talk about 15,000 if it's not going to actually work.
I don't know. I can. Why don't I?
We can talk about the
maximum
amount that we'd be willing to spend on the study and do a conditional approval from there.
A lot of years, we have a little bit of money. And when I say a little bit, we have somewhere between 20 and 40,000 left in the project fund that we just throw at a project and say, can you guys use this? I mean, we could potentially use that money to seed this study and get it going.
But then to do that, I'm just thinking through process-wise, would I make an application as the EDD for an RLS study so that you could consider it along with all of the other applications with the intent or idea that you use the bubble funding to fund it versus the known quantity?
What's the bubble funding?
Like that, it's that remainder
if
money.
If we have anything left over.
Yeah, the anything remainder. Like say all the, then
it's
I, then, yeah,
huh?
then this
it's
thing.
It's your county bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, you know, sometimes there's that little bit of extra funding that doesn't fit perfectly into all the project lists.
Okay.
Versus you guys saying the max I'm willing to spend is $20,000 or $25,000 on this, and you just carve it off ahead of time, and then we as an organization figure out if that's actually enough money to get a consultant to do a viable study.
If we did it the first way, then there'd be the chance that it ranks so low it doesn't get funded.
Right.
So that would be kind of like a we'll do it if we feel like it later kind of thing. So do we want to move forward with like a, this is the maximum amount we're willing to pay for a study. If we can do it for less than that, we'll move forward and cut that out, carve that out ahead of time.
Rochelle, you're being pretty quiet.
Well, being new to the board this year, do we usually allocate all of our funds on projects every year?
Every year I've done it, we have, and but because we've had other projects that we can put the money towards, if we didn't and we had unspent money, we would have to give that money back to the state, and then those funds would be reallocated to all 7 AOGs. So then we would only get we'd only get theoretically to keep a seventh of the money we returned to the state.
Correct.
Right, I understand that. If we have applications every year that use all of our funds and then even more requests than what we have funding for, I'm wondering if it's more beneficial to spend funds to research an RLS or if it's more beneficial to spend the funds to fund the applications that come in for the CDBG grants. I don't know, I'm kind of struggling with that. I'm all for economic development, but like some others mentioned, I think there's other counties that will benefit more from the RLS in the future than our three counties.
Well, but that comes up to part of the question I asked last time is why is there a minimum? Because didn't you say 40,000 was the minimum? What did you say for a grant? To apply for a grant?
What is CDBG? We limit ours to
30. Right. But I don't know if set asides, I don't think set asides apply.
Yeah, no. So this is, I was just saying that under a certain amount of money for any of us, it's more time in administration than it's worth to administer that amount of money. So
okay,
if it's
so
a $5,000.
Okay, so we have, so Rochelle, we end up with 25,000 surplus. You're saying
I'm all right investing that in an RLF. I just hate to take money away from our three counties that could use them for CDBG projects to study an RLS that will benefit the whole AOG in the future.
I think we can limit the RLF's scope. We don't have to.
Yeah, we don't have to open it up.
Go to all five counties.
You are at the, it's an unknown. You would be operating at that point, say theoretically in the future, years down the road, they would have their own nonprofit board of directors that could make determinations like that. And I don't know that
we can find
the money today other than through, it is our desire as the CDBG RRC to see these monies only benefit three counties because that's where the seed money came from. But I just, it's a risk because I don't see that we could put those teeth on it today that a future board is operating under, because that future board will have gone out and done its own funding development and funding inclusion into the program, and will have monies outside of just the CDBG investment for that program. I don't know.
Economic development is a good thing, however you can do it. Like I said, I just am torn on what the amount is we invest.
Can you bind a future board's decision making that way?
Well, my logic is just simply, we're using this grant money for these areas, so we can set up, this is what the fund's going to fund.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to fund economic development opportunities through a revolving loan fund in these three counties, because these three counties contributed.
Right.
I mean, if everyone on the board is from those three counties, I don't see that.
Well, why would they be from those three counties?
Yeah, and they would.
Right.
So. That's true.
Okay, so...
Maybe it would naturally...
But I'm very naive and idealistic, so I don't know.
Okay, so, and it might tie into Rochelle's question. So we're saying we've allocated everything. We have $18,000 left.
Yeah.
You're saying it's not worth the headache to apply it to a grant.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. Rochelle's asking, okay, take that $18,000 and put it to the RLF.
Uh-huh.
That way we don't lose that $18,000 for the next year on our grant.
And the only way I can do it is I would fill an application out to you guys. And then it would compete. It would. So we're not me. Well, I guess.
Well, there's actually. So this kind of gets into our next conversation, which I would like to touch on before.
If we only have time
to go home.
If the chair is okay with that,
sure.
And that could kind of be a catch-all for what we're talking about, and that is in the scoring criteria update, as it's called on the agenda. Which is the policies and procedures for scoring and awarding projects. If you look on in the first section on item number 21, it's called set-asides. Says the Wasatch Front Regional Council will set aside $50,000 of the region's annual allocation for admin and planning, which we've always done. That essentially pays for me to administer the program. So. If we wanted to, I feel like this would be an appropriate thing. Oh, to also put. Sorry, mine printed out weird, so I feel a little lost. Okay, and then also in conjunction with this thought, rambling thought that I'm having, if you look at item number 5 as well, it tells you what to do with any leftover funds, should there be leftover funds once all awarded projects have been awarded. So if we wanted to, like this year, we were lucky that Marriott Slaterville could take that extra money because we wouldn't really have known what to do with an extra $320,000. That's quite a chunk of change. So if we wanted to, I guess we could probably put in a stipulation that says, if we have, should we have leftover funds, let's use them to study at RLF.
Or even after the RLF is set up, could we write in there if we have leftover funds that goes to the RLF?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I would like to set a limit. I think $15,000 is my thought, but can we get a study for $15,000?
I don't know. That study we did for the transfer station was more than that.
Yeah.
Well, that's because Weaver County's got lots of money.
We did a fire ambulance, whatever study the other day from, I think it was actually from Lewis Birmingham for
$12,000.
Really? We're small, but they did a pretty comprehensive fire study.
Correct. We could compromise, say, up to 20,000.
Can we combine it with other, is there any issue with combining that with other monies?
I don't think so. Maybe not.
Like, could our unallocated consultant pool monies for WFRC, could I combine it with like those sorts of local funds if I went back to Andrew and said, this group is saying they'll do 15 or 20 or whatever, and we actually need 25, can we make up the difference as an organization?
So the only reason I hesitated is because I'm not sure about matching federal funds with federal funds.
Okay.
But that doesn't sound like federal
Love
funds.
It. Well, we just have to have our finance person pull it from our local funds. Like
okay.
We have a call.
Yeah,
we have a call together sources.
I don't think there would
okay.
be a problem with that.
Well, it wouldn't be match. I'm not matching with matching. I'm just
no.
adding to
it. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Adding monies together. I don't know.
So
but the question still remains, is it an application that competes with everybody until we see if there's bubble money, you know, leftover monies available, which would happen next April, May? Or is it money that can be carved off ahead of time prior to the program being allocated out to the locals, and then we can move forward with it when it's available?
I would feel better if it's bubble money than it's like, oh, we have a little bit left over. We've done all these, and instead of carving right off the top, and then we get down to the bottom, and somebody's
$5,000 short
yeah.
from
yeah.
funding
yeah.
your grant.
I'd go with the bubble. Is this revolving fund? Is that something that Morgan County wants and Tooele County wants and Weber County wants? Apparently, Weber County wants
so,
it because they tried to do it.
I'm waiting for Holland to respond.
Okay.
Yet,
so apparently Weber County's fairly interested. They've tried to do their own, and look, I want to hear how that come out. But Morgan and Tooele is.
Remind me again, what decision do we need today?
Nothing. We're trying
nothing,
to
nothing. Then
beat.
Why are we talking about this?
We're trying to beat November.
Yeah.
So we need the
well,
decision
no, this
before.
Is good.
Yeah. So we need the decision before November. So you go.
Sorry, I told you earlier in November, but then Cheryl told me I can't have my How to Apply workshop when I wanted to. She told me I have to have it on the 4th, and we actually do have to have this approved by before the How to Apply workshop.
Okay, so the decision needs to be made in 10 minutes.
Well, if we're going to change this.
Right, but so the things that we would need to include in this, should we decide, would be to write in, should we have leftover money after all scored applications that have been funded, we'll put it towards an RLF study. Or we're carving off X amount of dollars to fund. Those are the two things that would need to go in here.
Bubble money
up
to $20,000. That hurt.
Okay.
Okay. I mean,
okay.
So I'll compromise with you.
Okay.
Okay.
It's all about give and take.
Hey,
yeah.
That's great, though.
Is that a motion?
It will be, but I think if you wouldn't mind, could we go through
Please.
The entire thing
Let's
and make all the changes and approve them all at once?
Yep.
Okay.
Sorry,
no.
I should have taken all of your...
Where are you at?
Yeah, way to go.
All right.
So let's start at the beginning. How about?
Well, that'd be a good point. Or we go backwards, start again.
The beginning
one.
Where?
Where
are you at?
Right there.
Oh, just the very first page of the rating and ranking. It says 2019 rating and ranking criteria. General
policies.
Okay.
And that actually
yeah.
will be.
Okay.
Okay. So I have preliminarily gone through this and starred some things.
This
that,
is 2020, not 2019?
Yes, that'll be 2020.
Okay.
So this will be for next year's cycle. And then if you guys have anything, feel free, jump on in. So the first thing I had starred was item number 4. Single entity may not receive more than 250 in one funding cycle. So we revisited this last year. We made it so that an entity can be awarded more than one project, but they cannot be awarded more than 250,000. The state has asked me, are they sure? Do they still want to allow people to have two grant amounts regardless of, or even if it's only up to 250 total? Long story short, they don't like it as much, but it is your decision. So. Do you like that entities are able to receive more than two grants or more than one grant, although there is a ceiling that they can't receive more than 250 in a funding cycle?
Okay,
does that make sense? So
who doesn't like that? Cheryl? Okay, well, then we have to.
You don't have to.
Well,
it's up
well
to
I
you.
Know,
but
I'm just looking at this last year and how it broke up.
Yeah, so like Washington Terrace would have only received one award.
Right. But what I'm saying is we got $950,000 now. And we don't want to.
If we make her mad.
We don't want to make somebody mad, and we don't want to split it up equally like she wants to do it and get $600,000.
There will be no retribution to this group should you leave it the way it is.
Can you put that in writing?
I can handle Cheryl.
Well, I don't see.
I mean, if it's just kind of a, are you sure you want to leave it that way? I ain't got a problem with it. But if it's more of a, you know what, you guys need to fix this or address it, then that's a whole different.
Yeah.
That's conversation.
So she's saying take out this 250 or take out the multiple
grants.
Yeah, she would prefer, or maybe not even a preference, but all the other AOGs only allow every entity one award per funding cycle. But when we talked about it last year,
leave it how it is. I'd say leave it how it is.
Okay.
If she's like that, then we're fine.
Yep.
I just, once you said the state, I'm thinking who's the state? No, if Cheryl's the state, the entire state then.
Okay, so then number five we took care of. We're going to add a clause.
What are we doing?
Number five. So we already took care of that. We're going to add a clause on the end that says once all projects have been funded, if there's leftover money, we will use that money to study an RLF up to $20,000.
Yes.
Okay.
Do we want to add, what if we have $30,000 left over?
Can you expand the scope of any projects that you approve? Like, if a city applies for $90,000 for ADA curb cuts, could you give them $100,000 and they can do one more curb cut location, or can you not do that?
That was part of our discussion we had.
Because that you can reduce, you can't add to.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
So, I mean, we don't have to necessarily take action on it right now. That's, like, more often than not, we could leave it right now and just take the risk that we won't have leftover money over $30,000, because we rarely do. We normally have way more ask than we have funds.
Well, and that comes back to part of our discussion with Morgan, and that's why I don't want to eliminate the amount of grants, is because we are, no offense intended, normally we are on the bottom because of our ranking with income. But we figured out if we apply for more smaller amounts of grants, we have a better chance of funding some of those. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And so that's why I questioned before on the amount of money,
right?
You know, to do a grant. Mm-hmm. Because if I've got something that's going to take $15,000 and we got $15,000 in there, you know,
but your minimum grant is 30.
Yeah, we've just found that over time that anything under that $30,000, it's not worth Christie's time to administer and to do.
You're saying
ASAP
anything
payments.
Under $30,000 is not worth.
I don't get
your
out
job.
Of bed for anything and less than $30,000.
I mean, when you have to do the like grant online ASAP requests for money, and you factor in the amount of time it takes for all the people who do this, and then environmental clearance and all the stuff.
That administrative cost
clear.
Is greater than $30,000.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
You can't do a lot with $30,000.
Right.
You can't do a lot of.
I mean, the bathroom remodel.
How much was the bathroom remodel?
$110.
Yeah.
For each one.
Oh, I was like, you lied to me? What'd you do with the other
$110? I don't remember exactly.
Okay, number six, this is a super small change.
Well, so would you decide on that dollar thing? The bubble, you're talking about the bubble money, the extra money.
Yeah.
Is it going to go to an RLF study? Did we decide on an amount? Were we putting an amount on there? Yes or no?
I think we said up to $20,000.
$20,000. Yeah, with the risk that if you got more than that, maybe you give $10,000 back to the state.
Okay, but then you said if we give $10,000 to the state, they're going to take that $10,000 off our next allotment.
Well, no. They distribute it seven ways. They take any money that comes back, distribute it seven ways. So our next year's fund will be $950,000 and one-seventh of $10,000 and $1,250.
But we could throw that $10,000 at another project that gets partially funded or something
right.
like that. We don't have to just give it back.
That's just what I want to make
guess
sure.
This does, you know, this does give you guys the option to partially fund the final project on the list. if it's one of those that could be partially funded to just parse out.
Well, didn't we do that with Marriott Slaterville?
Yeah, we always.
We always partially fund. We've never given money back.
Unless the city has said, no, we don't want the partial funding this year. We'll come back next year.
Yeah, that's what I thought. We asked. See,
Marriott Slaterville had a multi-year project.
Yeah,
so we said, we'll give you that $35,000 right now. Use it right. Yeah, we can use it right now. And then take that off there next year. So.
Yeah.
So we've never given any money back as long as I've been on here.
Right.
So, I just want to make sure we're not giving back.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Super small change in number 6. At the end of the clause, in parentheses, it says usually held in March of each year. I don't want to put like a hard time frame on anything. I don't want people to have those expectations. Sometimes we do it in February. And so, you know, I don't want people to have in their mind, oh, I have to spend it 50% down by March, and then we have it in February, and they feel shortchanged. So I just want to take the date, the March, out of there. I mean,
the whole paragraph. The whole
period. Yeah.
I just want to, instead of saying usually held by March of each year, I want to say usually held by February or March of each year. So people know.
So you want February or March.
Why do we need to say when it's usually held?
Yeah, sure. Let's just take it all out.
Yeah,
okay.
That's good. I like that.
Okay, didn't see anything on the next page. Next thing I starred was the number 13, and that ties back into what we've been talking about. May approve set-asides consistent with the consolidated plan, which an RLF is, and they must be approved prior to the how to apply workshop, but we already took care of that by putting it in number 5.
The word how is under, is lowercase, and the word apply is upper.
That's true. Yep.
Okay, I'll capitalize the H. Next thing, item number 20, obviously I need to update the RRC membership to you fine people. Moving right along, we're now in the ranking criteria. My first question was on number 3, the moderate income housing plan. Due to SB 34, we no longer have scores that DWS will score each moderate income housing plan. So. Taking out the last criteria, which is most recent moderate income housing plan score was 3 or higher, that is no longer applicable. So it's gone.
So that is gone. Okay. And that's because of House Bill what?
Senate Bill 34.
Senate Bill.
Okay, I didn't have anything for quite a while. Except for tell number 6, maturity of project. The very last score criteria is architectural engineering design is complete. And my question is, what if it's a project that doesn't require an architectural or engineering design? Such as the fire truck that we funded this previous cycle.
Is it a gimme, just a gimme point then? Or do you think that you're...
I mean, yeah,
or,
I could say if not applicable, then you get the point. Well,
if it applies to Morgan and gives us an advantage,
it's a gimme point if you're doing a project, if you're purchasing product,
okay,
like fire apparatus or something like that, then you don't get it, but... If
you've kind of done more work on a project like this, maybe you should get that extra little point if you've done that work.
Keep it in there.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
So free point if not applicable. Okay. Perfect, perfect.
What's the 5 select up to 5, 4 select up to 4? Oh, this is number 4.
Yeah.
No, that's number
6. No. So you can select up to 4 of these. So 4 is the maximum amount of points possible, and you can select up to 4. So then in number 7, in the bolded highlighted portion on the right side, it says applicants can receive points if they provide information in their application, providing they're proving they abide by regional quality planning efforts. I want to recommend that we take out jurisdictions recognized as quality growth communities will receive 4 points because communities are no longer being recognized as quality growth communities. That was an initiative that is no longer. So there's like 2 communities who were approved back then, and they kind of automatically get those 4 points now, and no other communities have the opportunity to get recognized. So out of fairness, I think we should take that out.
Do the rest of those 4 points stay?
So you can still get those 4 points, you just have to prove it.
Make
instead
sure
of, you know, being like, we were designated.
Wasatch Choice can be 50, not 40.
Okay, great.
Man, are we that old? We changed a decade.
Yeah.
We've been around a while.
I still remember the 2020 plans. What do you mean?
Yeah, this
Vision way out there.
Vision 2020.
Yes. So then in number 9, I'm going to just update the years. So where it says FY 18, it'll be 19, and so forth.
Okay. So it's going to be 19 and 18?
Yeah, and then 17.
Okay.
And then number 10, we talked about last time, so we're going to move forward with a community assessment survey, which I don't know if we'll be able to talk about today. And I believe that was it for me. Oh, and then once we're going into the clarifications at the end, which kind of go into detail about what we mean by each criteria, I'm going to update the population bracket for this year's population count.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just actually made that note.
As soon as you get that population update, will you email that to me?
Christy, on number 3, it still refers to the moderate income housing plan score.
Yeah, we've struck that.
Okay.
You took that out?
Yeah, that was...
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying up there.
Oh, no, I'm not sure.
On number 3, down at, after the homelessness and the moderate income housing plan.
Yeah, it does. So there's just not one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll change that.
That's all one. No,
correct.
Just to say that all applicants must provide documentation showing that they're in compliance with moderate income housing requirements.
Yeah.
That's good.
Which one are we on?
We jumped back to number 3 in the descriptions really quick.
Here?
So yeah, so instead of saying showing HCD's score, it's going to say showing they're in compliance with moderate income housing requirements. And then the other thing that needs to be updated is the property tax rate for each community. And that is it. For me, unless you guys have more comments.
Do you have questions or comments?
Do we have to approve that, or is that just an update? We do have to approve that.
We will take action.
Okay.
So, do I have a motion to consider the rating and ranking criteria with the changes that we just discussed?
So moved.
Okay, I have a motion.
Second.
I have a second. Motion second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Motion passes. Okay, if we have just a couple minutes, then Christy, go ahead and...
Maybe I can just pull it up and you guys can eat, or
that'd
if you want to just take
sure.
it while you eat.
We'll talk about the community survey.
It's up to you. Here's your choices. Scott and I have veggies.
Scott and I have what?
Veggies.
Veggie sandwich. And then you
get regular sandwich. Trying to be healthy. Compliment
maybe
my celery.
Maybe I want to be a veggie.
Do you want a veggie sandwich? Pesto chicken, turkey avocado, or honey bacon club?
What do you want, Mark?
I want it.
Honey bacon club.
You want the turkey bacon avocado club sandwich?
I'll take that.
Okay. Your turkey bacon.
Thank you very much.
So you have the option of honey bacon, pesto chicken.
What? Oh, you got it.
My server, my one.
So Scott, what if Found I-80's open? Do you deliver?
Yeah, wait a minute. I'll jump on down.
I get.
So this should not take very long. This item, I just kind of wanted to show you what I put together and pretext with you that it is a little bit vague. As far as I'm not asking people to go look up exact numbers and percentages or anything like that. It's kind of just an initial survey that will inform the consolidated plan on regional need and also provide kind of any project cultivation should there be needed some, or if, you know, if there's distressed areas or vulnerable areas that really could use a project. So, starting off, has your community ever been granted a CDBG award, and if so, when was it? And then this is where they'll prioritize the 6 activity types that are allowed by our rating ranking. And then we're kind of getting into project types, or kind of exact project activities. Since our community has sufficient senior housing, agree or disagree, of your housing stock, roughly which percentage is senior housing? And this also survey is kind of to get communities thinking of, you know, to assess themselves, see what they need, see what they're going to need in the future. And then also, you know, if they say disagree, that gives me an opportunity to go to their community and see if we can drum up some sort of senior housing project. So all the questions are kind of on par with that. Our community has sufficient resources for or access to social services. If you disagree, please specify which resource is inaccessible. Community has sufficient resources for special needs and disability services, i.e. ADA upgrades, special needs programs. If you disagree, specify which programs are most needed. Our community has sufficient resources for homelessness prevention, first-time homebuyers assistance, and renters assistance programs. Our community has sufficient sidewalk, curb, gutter infrastructure. If not, roughly which percentage of your neighborhood streets do not have curb, gutter, sidewalk infrastructure? Does your capital investment program funding meet the needs of your water sewer infrastructure replacement or maintenance schedule?
Does that question make sense to everybody? So I worded that question. Because originally it was something...
Like, will you need to replace your water sewer infrastructure in the next 5 years?
Yeah, which right. is always on a revolving schedule. And then the question, what percentage of your city's infrastructure replacement maintenance are you unable to fund? With the idea of getting who are the haves and the have-nots in our service area to see if there are people who are way underwater. Because I think everybody will answer this question no. And then it's just a matter of how far behind, you know, behind the curve are you on.
So is there a question, do you want curb and gutter? Do you want sewer? Is there a question like that in there?
That's a great question.
Yeah, a lot of.
Because some of the rural areas, they may not desire that for the community, right?
Well, yeah, I don't want curb and gutters through going through Morton County.
True.
I mean, I'm not excited about it in the subdivisions that we're putting in, but that was that happened before I got involved.
Well,
but, we're trying to keep it rural, but then we turn around and put curb and gutter and sidewalks.
So should we make it say, can we scroll up to that other one? Can we say, does your community have sufficient sidewalk, curb, gutter, or like stormwater infrastructure or something that's related? Because you're going to still have water collection infrastructure in some way, unless it's all on site.
Are we?
I don't know.
Also, no. I should have included this in the pretext.
So is there
when I send this out to communities, I want to say, you know, your answers in no way will affect your scoring or your rating and ranking. Like, just because you say we are in dire need doesn't mean you're going to get a project. So just because you don't have curbs that are sidewalk gutter doesn't mean we're going to come up to Morgan County and put them in. You still have to apply for the project. You still have to, you know, whatever. But this is kind of just for me to know what the need is side by side to the priorities.
But this is part of the problem that we're having in Morgan is what's rural. What do you consider rural? What I consider rural.
Right.
Okay. The people that are moving up into the Mountain Green Rose Hill Cottonwood development that's got curb and gutter and sidewalk, that's rural to them because they're not down in the metropolitan area.
Yeah.
But to me, this is now metropolitan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I want no sidewalks. I want to just run off into the borrow pit.
Yeah.
What if I edit this question to say in like where desired?
Well, and seeing that's where it comes down to. You know, what your opinion is, what mine, you know.
But Roland would answer that one. Do we have sufficient? Yes. Because
yeah.
we don't want any more.
Right.
We don't need any more.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, I mean, that kind of works. So.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to kind of shift topics a little bit. This is very urban oriented.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We have these programs. We have these services. We don't have any. No, we don't have it. No, we don't have it. No, we don't have it.
But if you don't want it, is it sufficient? Yeah.
Well, and the sufficient, maybe that's where we get it addressed.
Yeah.
We have what we want.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And all these comments are good because these are things I can kind of put in the pretext email when I send these out to people, you know. just because you said you need it, like you don't have it, doesn't, it's not going to affect your rating and ranking. We're not going to give it to you if you don't want it. You know, sufficient is, if you don't want it, you have it sufficiently.
And maybe we could say, like, is it, instead of the word sufficient, say something along the lines of, like, does it meet your community's vision or meet your community's desires or whatever? And then we're not making a judgment call on sufficiency. We're just saying, is your current way of development meeting your
community
goals?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a good way to go.
Thanks. Okay. And then, so that's kind of everything for as far as CDBG projects. And this, you guys can decide to take out or not decide to take out. It is in regards to the moderate income housing element of the general plan, which was amended in SB 34. So this is kind of more, it is a requirement of CDBG to have a compliant moderate income housing plan to be eligible for funding. So it is in our realm, like we do need to consider it. But also as an organization, we are pretty interested in the moderate income housing element. So,
does that one need to have the caveat of, if required, I mean, do we have the cities or areas within our region that are less than 10,000 people or not in the class two? Like, does everybody, even Morgan City, have to have an LMI plan?
I've got a note to check that. I don't think we do.
All right.
Only Morgan
County
does.
What's your population?
15, 14?
Oh yeah, I think it's under 5,000 people. You don't have to.
We should make sure that we have like...
Well, there's city and county levels. Anyway,
that's true.
I've got enough to look that exact up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so 9.
And who are you sending this survey to?
So there's 23 communities within our region that are eligible for CDBG funding, and I was going to send it to those 23 communities. Plus the counties.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's going to Lance? Going to who? Who's it going to?
I haven't come up with that list yet, but it would be the community development planner department in each community.
See, so Lance won't curb and gutter the sidewalk.
We're doing half acre lots, baby.
Ooh. That'll be a spicy meeting. Kai. And then this one's listed as optional. You don't have to answer it. But my thinking in including it was, you know, if you have something in your moderate income housing plan as a strategy, as a recommended strategy, and it could also be a CDBG project, there's ample opportunity there. And that would be highly beneficial to the communities, you know, to help implement those requirements by DWS. What are you guys' thoughts on that? And let me just pretext also that, I'm sorry if I assumed everyone's read that bill.
Well, my question, how many people know what SB 34 is? And what the requirements are?
Right.
Everyone who works for a city.
Oh, I think
good.
I think they all know by now.
Right.
Yeah. Because if you don't get it in, you won't be eligible to receive state transportation dollars in your community. Which is a huge, huge carrot or stick, depending on what side of that answer that question you're on. So rural communities may be less aware of it because they're written as the bill. They're lower population. They don't have to meet the requirement. But the remainder of our three counties, including the majority of Weber County, all now have to do it, even some of those smaller cities that are like emerging population centers. So. I think people are pretty aware of it. Would you?
Yes. Well, because it is under 5,000, not under 10,000. I thought it was originally under 10,000. I thought, oh, great. But, so it's under 5,000. So, you know, almost everybody in Weber County is out there now.
So, with the caveats of changing the word sufficient to does it meet your community goals? And then also adding the stipulation to the moderate income housing portion of if your community is required to comply. With those two stipulations, you know, what's your guys' initial reaction to the survey?
I think it's great.
Is it comprehensive enough? Does it need to be, does it need to ask for more specifics? Or like my worry was that if we make it too hard, people aren't gonna fill it out.
I agree. Yeah. 10 questions, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm asking who you're sending it to.
City planners.
So, I thought this would be a good tool so we could have a good discussion, but take it to the council for information only. And sorry, I didn't say joke. And but you know, this is a good discussion for us to discuss what our community goals are, because everybody's on a different page. Mm-hmm. I'd almost send it out supplementally to the elected officials, anyway, various people. And
that was part of my other question I wanted to bring to the group is, besides the people who, the staff who could easily fill this out, who else, if anyone else, should see the survey?
I have one more thought on it. Is this is going to help you inform the con plan, which ultimately helps inform this number 10 regional project priority, which are the six priorities: increasing tax base, public health and safety equipment, removal of ADA barriers, public services, low moderate income housing, and public utility infrastructure. Every one of those is in there except for a question on economic development. We don't have a question that says something along the lines of...
But to be fair, only this body can come to CDBG for economic development dollars from CDBG. Cities?
Oh, the cities can't apply for like entrepreneurial dollars. Okay, thanks. No, I retract my... That's what this will help. I mean, if the local priorities, it'll give you guys local priorities, then you can revise why and how we're ranking one of these six or points in the regional project priority.
Well, back to Lance's comment on who to send it to. Because we have such diverse opinions on the county council, on the current county council. And I come back to what's rural, what's not. We have some that want curb gutter sidewalks, half acre lots everywhere. You got people like me that I don't want a sidewalk anywhere. I don't want a bike lane anywhere. You know, and so to just, I think to get a better all around picture, it needs to go to more than just, no offense intended, it needs to go to more than just the planners in the counties, in the communities. It needs to go to the elected officials and that, and get their opinion on it.
So a follow-up question would be like, how many? Because we don't want it to be so many that the answers kind of get diluted.
Well, I mean, we got 7 council members.
Could just limit it to that.
And
to all 7, or the 7 would get together and fill out one?
All 7, but you could quantify who it's from, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So you'd have, this is what Morgan County said, and their average is this. Mm-hmm. We were counting this. I don't know.
And that's what you'd have to do, because there's not a chance in Hades that you're going to get all 7 members agreeing to not one question on that paper. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen.
Something that's going to wake up.
Mine is Ogden.
Ogden. Mine is Ogden.
What are you talking about, COG?
Mm-hmm. Good way to do it. See that?
I don't know. How many responses do you want? Just
yeah.
One from each community?
I guess that's a better question. Yeah. How many you want?
I guess COG would be a good way to do it, because it would be kind of on a county by county basis. So I guess I would want each COG to do it. And then depending on how many community responses I get, that's a tough question.
Yeah. And some of
these, because I get a bunch of county community responses from Weber and no community responses from Tooele or Morgan.
Is Rochelle still
there? City and Morgan City.
Right. I'm here.
I wouldn't want, because there's more communities in Weber County than there are in
sure.
Morgan County, there's to be more heavily weighted.
Yep, that makes sense.
Well, so. The thing with the COG is, I mean, because you got the county, the city, and the school. Would that be, and I guess to a point it is kind of affects you guys, because you got rural school districts and areas out there. Would that give you a fair enough average with that? I mean, because the city's going to want to have the curb, the gutter, the sidewalk, more of the metropolitan type area. The council is going to want more of the rural look. Is that going to give you enough diverse?
I would be more concerned with under, not enough surveys coming back than too many. Just in our experience with sending out surveys. And also some of these questions are going to be more public works director oriented, and others are more like people who are thinking social services, like a city manager or council person who's over that. I don't know that any one person will be able to answer to the best of their ability all of these questions. Maybe the city manager should be able to, for the most part.
Would your recommendation be?
I'm almost thinking do it like the way we do our RTP, which is we have an elected officials list and a staff level list, and just send it to it goes to like 10 people then for each of those those organizations, and just see what you get back. And then you could aggregate responses on a county level, knowing that you run the risk of certain cities being high responders within the county, but then you could at least get like an average of responses back.
So you could weight it.
You could weight it to like urban versus rural or something.
So did I miss, what are you trying to accomplish with the survey?
So our 5-year consolidated plan needs to be updated in February. And that plan includes, you know, and this is from HUD, their requirements, and they want to know, have you included your communities? Do you have community input from your region? You know, are you funding projects that are priorities in your region? You know, they want to make sure that the communities are really involved and they have public input and that we're doing what they want. And then not only that, it'll inform our rating and ranking on this question. Pretty much whatever comes out of this, you know, will be, you know, 1 point, 2 points, 3 points, 4 points, 5 points.
Okay.
So what do you guys think about Scott's suggestion of both elected officials and city staff?
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. We have to give it to every Weber County city.
Right.
We've got your issue. We've got the west of I-15. A lot of people probably don't want curb and gutter. You know, I'm sure. But now, how would you... You don't have any real cities and towns except Morgan. But you have areas, Mount Green, Peterson.
You have county.
Milton, I don't know, I haven't been up there.
Is Hennepin a city?
Hennepin? It's in Summit County.
Oh, it is, that's right.
Yeah,
it is. Okay.
But you got different sections of the county that aren't really incorporated.
Okay, so I'll give you geographic real quick. You have Mount Green and you have Morgan.
That's it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Mountain Green don't like to be associated with Morgan.
Well, yeah. But then...
So they want to be their own animal. So as far as, and that's what I'm saying, they're all moving up to Mountain Green.
Right. I understand.
They want to bring the urban part with them.
And they want curb and gutter.
They want curb and gutter. Right. They want all the stuff that they ran away from because they don't like driving back down King.
Right, exactly. But then what do you have in between Peterson and, you know, whatever, between that?
Peterson, Milton, Stoddard, Ridgeville, Porterville.
Yeah, so what is
we're all people? Rural county. We don't want any sidewalks, curb and gutter, nothing. Just give us a...
So you're speaking for all of them north of...
If I had my way, we would have road-based roads through the entire county.
Are there any other incorporated communities besides Morgan City?
Nope.
No.
Wow. Okay. I did not realize that.
There's like 13 different... Kind of
we have a lot of homeowners associations.
Yeah.
Yeah, little areas.
Yeah, so you have Mountain Green, Enterprise, Peterson, Milton, Stoddard, Porterville, Ridgeville. But they're all, but it's still all incorporated more.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. Everybody south of the Peterson exit wants to stay the rural community. So that's what I'm trying to figure out, you know, how you would get a fair answer. But if all we're doing is looking to try and meet qualifications for HUD, to me it doesn't really make any difference.
Yeah, it's not going to affect project selection or scoring or...
So at this point, does it really matter how many people you send it to? They just want to...
We just want to not have the con plan be created in the silo of our office. We want to hear from the communities and their desires and have that inform outcomes of the con plan.
I would like one for my city. And I would think that my planner or whoever would like to ask me about it and we sit down.
Amy can do it in a second.
You know, and boom, we get it done. One for us, one for the other 16 small communities in Weaver County. That's what I would hope for.
So then in Morgan, it would be one for Morgan City, one for Morgan County?
Well, unless you have a... Yeah, I don't know. Sure.
I guess if it's at the COG.
Well, if we just set it to the city and the council, had the city council and the county council do it.
I would like the elected officials and the staff.
Okay.
So
and I can always...
For Morgan County, you'd have 8 surveys.
And I'll include you guys in the survey as well, and I'll make it a forwardable link. So if there's someone you think needs to take the survey, you can just forward them the link and they can take it.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry I took more of your time.
It's all right. All right.
Do you think it's
important stuff?
I'm okay with that. Are you guys okay with the survey then?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Very good. All right. Thanks for everyone's time today. I don't think we have... Well, is there anything else we need to discuss? Okay. If not, then I will take a motion to adjourn.
So move.
We are adjourned.
At 1:27.
Thank you all.